Have you ever wondered if heaven is for real? Well, after a brush with death, a young boy may have the answers millions of us are looking for. Was his vision real or something he dreamed? Well, you can decide for yourself. Natalie Tisdell tells us why people are so interested in this little boy from Nebraska.
I remember Jesus. There are streets of gold and a lot of colors. I sat in Jesus' lap and then I felt just safe.
It sounded like a story dreamed up by a little boy. But to understand what Colton Burpo said, you have to hear what he did. It all started on a trip to Colorado. Colton complained of a stomach ache, a trip to the doctor. Diagnosis, the flu. Back home to Nebraska, another doctor, still no improvement. Colton went downhill fast.
As parents, we felt sick. You know, what we could have done different. Man, we did this wrong.
Turns out for 5 days, he suffered misdiagnosed. The then 3-year-old had a ruptured appendix. While in surgery, his parents, Todd and Sonia, prayed in separate rooms. They thought they had lost him. Miraculously, after a difficult recovery, Colton survived. But his story is far from over. There were things Colton did and things he said after the surgery that were out of the ordinary. But until a drive past the hospital 4 months after his surgery, none of it made sense. His dad jokingly asked Colton if he wanted to go back to the hospital. His response?
But you know, Dad, and he looks at me in the mirror and I'm looking at him. He says, the angels, they sang to me while I was there. I remember looking in the mirror and he's just dead serious.
Colton's story about heaven was about to begin.
And I look at my wife and she looks at me and it's like, has he spoken to you? She's like, no. Her eyes are probably as big as mine. And I'm sitting here going, he's never talked to me about angels before.
While in heaven, Colton says he saw many things and met many people, including Pop, his great-grandfather who died 30 years before Colton was born. But Colton says he didn't look like the photo in his house. A picture sent months later by his grandmother was more like the man he met, a young man without glasses. And perhaps the most shocking part of Colton's story.
Stands right in front of his mom and is like, Mom, I have two sisters.
But he only has one sister.
You had a baby die in your tummy, didn't you, Mom?
His parents never told him about the miscarriage.
She looked familiar, and then she started giving me hugs and telling me that she was glad to have someone from her family up there.
Over time, this young man's visions became more real, from his description of Jesus to his talks with God, even a discussion about Armageddon.
I actually got a glimpse of it.
Now, how does a kid make that up?
The Burpo family accepted and embraced their little boy's unbelievable story.
Todd Burpo is a pastor here in Imperial, Nebraska, population 1,800. Many people here know about Colton's story. In fact, they've encouraged Todd to write a book about it. He did. Here it is. It's a New York Times bestseller.
It wasn't something Todd wanted to do or even knew how to do. But he did exactly what he did the night Colton laid on that table near death. He prayed.
God, if this is really you, I kind of laid my fleece out. And I said, you know, I don't know how to publish a book. But if you really want me to do this, you're going to have the publishing industry find me.
And it wasn't long before that actually happened. So far, 500,000 books have been printed. Bookstores across the country are trying to get more copies. They're on ebook readers, audio tape. There's even talk of a movie. It's a lot for this small town family.
We never imagined it to go where it is.
There's a peace I've come to know.
As for Colton, he's a pretty straightforward 11-year-old. He likes music, he wrestles, and he prays. To the God he describes as...
God, he's the biggest one in heaven. He can hold the earth in his hands.
I don't know why God picked us. We're just normal people, but God did a remarkable miracle for us.
Natalie Tisdell, Fox 31 News.
Wow.
So, what do you think?
You know what? I think that little kids can't make up some things.
I'll tell you what. I believe it for one reason. This is the latest in a long line of stories I've heard, starting with my own mother, who had a near-death experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And said to me when I was a little kid basically the same thing. And I've heard many stories like that.
It's amazing.
Who are we to say it's...
No, Absolutely. And I want to hear more from the little boy.
That's a fascinating story.
I have to get the book. That is a great story. Great story.
So what do you think? What's it like after we die? Do we walk or do we float? Do we recognize one another? Does it hurt or does it feel good? Is it better or is it worse? We've got 1,000 questions that we'd all like to ask, and I suppose even if our questions were answered, we probably really wouldn't understand because we wouldn't have categories to understand from. Kind of like comparing to a conversation between twins who are still in the womb, speculating about what life would be like after they are born. And of course, they do it on the basis of the experience they have. So they come to conclusions. After you're born, it must be wet out there. And it must be crowded, not much space. And obviously, the way you get around is you swim everywhere that you go. And food, they would know, you eat through your belly button because that's the way life has been. So just as it would be difficult for a not yet born baby to understand the outside world, it's difficult for us who are not yet dead to understand a future life that we haven't experienced. But the Bible is helpful. And specifically, perhaps the chapter in the Bible that is most helpful is in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where St. Paul starts out telling about the resurrection of Jesus. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also." Now, in that same chapter, St. Paul keeps on talking about resurrection after death, but not about Jesus, but about us. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and in each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man, from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have been born in likeness of the earthly man, so we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. So the first explanation, the first shot at understanding what will be like is to compare a seed to the plant that grows out of that seed. To read it again. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. So in order to grow an oak tree, what you do is you take an acorn and you plant it in the ground, and the acorn dies as an acorn in order that the oak tree can grow up. And eventually that oak tree may be 25 or 50 or 75 feet tall. And it's the same. You can actually take a sample out of the DNA of the acorn and later the DNA of the oak tree, and you can prove that it is the same DNA. And it's the same with us, that we get our resurrection bodies that last for all of eternity based upon the bodies that we have now, that our present bodies are the seeds and our future bodies, in this analogy, are the plants. And St. Paul explains that our present bodies just aren't well suited for the presence of God and for eternity in heaven forever. That what we need are different kinds of bodies, resurrection bodies that God will provide. And that for almost everybody, the way to get from the body we have to the body we will get is through death. So that is the universal human experience. However, he explains, there's one exception, one time, one way to get to the resurrection body without going through death. And he explains that God's about this for a very long period of time, but there will be one switchover day. The big change, a day of transition. And for those that are alive and go through the transition on that one day, then they will not go through death, but go directly in this big switch to a resurrection body. Again, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. But listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And there are a lot of Christians who have hoped that that big switch will take place when they're around. So most people, for most of history, have not experienced this. The only way from this body to the resurrection body is through death. But for one small percentage, there will be this big switch day, and Christians have hoped and prayed that that will be their day, although God never tells when that day is. He knows it, and nobody else does. But if we're alive then we don't go through death. Our resurrection bodies will be based upon the bodies that we have, but there are going to be some serious upgrades between now and then. When I was in the sixth grade, my parents got a lot and built a new house for our family. It cost $20,000, and it was a simple, modest, middle-class home. They went to a builder. I can remember going with them to see model homes, and there are like four, five, six at most choices. And you could make slight variations to those models, but pretty much you had to choose from them. And I think they chose probably about the cheapest model that was there. And built this house that was three bedrooms, two stories, had an undersized two-car garage, and had a basement. I often wonder whether it was actually a mistake or it was supposed to be that low down there, but it meant that the basement could never be finished. It was too low for a stand-up ceiling down there, and that was the house where I grew up during my junior high school and senior high years. Last year, we drove down the street where I used to live and went to see the house, And let me tell you, I was flabbergasted by what I saw. Because whoever owns the house now is in the process of spending somewhere in excess of $1 million to fix up this house. And it's just stunning what they are doing. First of all, they've taken a two-story house and they've made it into a three-story house. They put additions on both ends. They have a big garage that's sort of around the side next to the swimming pool. Where was the swimming pool when I was in seventh and eighth grade? Why did it take so long for anybody to actually figure out all of this stuff? And it's upscale. There are copper gutters and downspouts and architectural features. And this is really impressive. This is really high end. And we took a picture out the car window. And I turned to Charlene and said, why would they do this? Why didn't they just tear the old place down and just start over? Like, who in their right mind puts $1 million remodeling on a $20,000 house? But, you know, apparently they liked something about the house that my parents built. And when I look at this new mini mansion, take off mini, and I can still see the old house, actually. The entranceway, the front door, is pretty much the same as it was when my parents built it and when I lived there. And it's still in the same place in the lot, and the driveway is still in the same location. And apparently, they liked enough of the way it used to be to retain that, but they have morphed it into something that is amazingly better. And this is what God does when we die. So he keeps us, but he puts in upgrades that are just amazing. And 1 Corinthians 15 actually lists some of the upgrades. So upgrade number one is a custom design. God gives a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. So God has custom designed bird bodies for birds and fish bodies for fish and celestial bodies for stars and the sun and the moon. And God custom designs resurrection bodies for us. Top quality, high end, divinely customized. Upgrade number two is that resurrection bodies are imperishable. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. So the bodies that we have now, they get broken and they get sick. And they're only good for so long. I mean, like a maximum of 100 years. And I know we're all planning to live to be 100, but the statistics are that very, very few of us are actually going to make it anything close to 100. But if you do make it to 100, you're pretty well done. I mean, that's about as far as this body goes. But our resurrection bodies, they will be unsickable. They will be unbreakable. They will be undiable. No, I know those aren't words, but they would be good words if we were just adding some new words to describe this. Upgrade number two is that resurrection bodies are imperishable. Upgrade number three is that these resurrection bodies are glorious. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. I don't know if you've taken a good look at yourself in the mirror today. Some of us don't like to take too long to do that. And pretty much all of us are kind of discouraged by what we see because there are things about us that we really don't like, that we wish were different, you know, less wrinkles or a different shaped nose or mouth or teeth or ears. And we just kind of get discouraged in what we're looking at, and that's just our faces. I mean, if you move on from there, it's even more discouraging. And by contrast, our resurrection bodies will be glorious. You're going to be hard put to get away from the mirror. This is going to look really good, totally impressive. Upgrade number four is powerful. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. We learn quickly in our lives that we don't have the power to do the things that we would like to do. We don't have the strength. When we are little children, we assume that our parents or other adults can do absolutely anything. But then as we grow up, we discover that there are a lot of things we don't have the muscle power to accomplish. And that as we get older, we don't get stronger. We actually start to get weaker. But with our resurrection bodies, we will have a boost in power that we can hardly imagine. Perhaps able to jump tall buildings, whatever it is, it will be a greater power than anything that we have previously experienced. And upgrade number 5 is our resurrection bodies will be supernatural. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body, the wording of which is subject to some misunderstanding. Because you could read this and get the impression that the Bible is here teaching that our present bodies are physical, but that resurrection bodies are, I don't know, more like a ghost. But that is not at all what is being taught here. Resurrection bodies are physical just like our present bodies are physical, but they will be supernatural. Will we be able to perform miracles supernaturally? Perhaps a very big yes. So what does all this practically mean? Can we recognize one another? When we hear someone speak, will the voice sound familiar? Do we get to eat our favorite foods in a resurrection body? The best insights come from Jesus because we are told in the New Testament that our resurrection bodies will be like his resurrection body. Just a couple of examples. In Philippians chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Our bodies will become like his body. Or in 1 John 3:2, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he, that is Jesus, appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So if you go back to last week's Easter story, you find there quite a bit of information about what Jesus was like and what he said and did with his resurrection body. And you can read the chapters for yourself at the end of Luke in Luke 24, the end of John in John chapters 20 and 21, that Jesus had a physical appearance, that he appeared as physical as he did before he died, that he carried on normal conversations, just as we would, just as he previously had done, that he got around by walking, and sometimes he would go on a long walk between towns with people engaging in conversation, that he would sit down and eat meals with people, including, we're actually told, the menu of a fish dinner that he ate, that he had physical scars that they could actually touch and examine, the nail wounds in his hand and the sword wound that was on his side. But also that he could instantly appear somewhere. He could instantly move from place to place. I mean, you don't need to worry about gas prices when you can just show up anywhere that you want to go. And that he could move between earth and heaven. And that he was recognizable and not recognizable. And that's a little bit confusing, because some of the resurrection stories of Jesus, they immediately knew who he was, but there were other times when those you would think would have recognized him didn't seem to know who Jesus was. Now, part of that may be explained that they were kind of traumatized, that when you are convinced someone is dead and then a few days later they show up, and you know that's impossible, that you somehow come up with some other rationalization and just your mind refuses to recognize it. And that may be part of their coming to terms with the resurrection of Jesus. But it may be more than that. It may be that in the resurrection there are enough subtle changes that recognition sort of varies. Maybe you've had the experience where you sit down with a family album and there are these really old pictures, including some pictures of you with other family members when you were a baby. And you've done something that a lot of people have done. You turn to your parents or to somebody else and say, which one is me? So you don't even recognize yourself. You are you, but you've grown up And then mom says, you're the one on the right. And maybe you'll actually get out a magnifying glass and then take a good look at it and say, yeah, that's my ear. That's my nose. That is me. And maybe that's part of what happened with sometimes recognizing Jesus and sometimes not. But all of this together is to say that we will absolutely be ourselves, but that we will be upgraded and be a lot better. That we will connect with family and friends, that we will go for walks and engage in conversations, that we will eat meals, that we will move from place to place without a taxi cab or an airplane, and that we'll be able to travel back and forth between heaven and earth, and that it's all really going to be great. Maybe you've watched on television these ads for all-inclusive Caribbean resorts, and they're pretty enticing. There's unlimited food, you know, the price includes all the food that you can eat, and there are beautiful beaches, and there's crystal clear ocean waters, and there are always people with perfect bodies, and you're thinking, well, if I go, it won't be like that, because I'll change that. And then, for some reason I don't fully understand, they're always in hammocks, and they're very comfortable hammocks and more, and it looks just perfect. And all you need is a ticket to go there. So you sign up, you get a ticket, and you go to this all-inclusive Caribbean resort. Well, heaven is infinitely better. It is more beautiful. There is no lost luggage. This is God's best. And it's not just for a week and then you go back to the way things were. This is forever. And that we will have customized bodies fit for the presence of God and suited exactly for this marvelous place that will be our eternity. It is perfect. All we need is a ticket to get there. And the ticket is Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose again from the dead to guarantee for us resurrection bodies and a place with God forever. So what we need to do is sign up. What we need to do is commit, and that God will then give to us our resurrection bodies just like Jesus that will last forever. God, we have a certain fear, but we have an excitement and an anticipation. And we claim and believe the truth of Jesus Christ, that with faith in him and a personal commitment to him as Savior and Lord, that his resurrection will be the prototype for our resurrection, that this is what we may experience in our upgrades, to be in your presence and to enjoy your place and blessing forever, all possible through Jesus Christ. Amen.